In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Wednesday, April 10th, 2013 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the 3 o'clock hour, it's Pentagon Solutions, and every Wednesday at 3, we look at some of the biggest challenges the Pentagon's dealing with, and we talk to experts both inside and outside the building about the ways to deal with those challenges and look for potential solutions. One of those challenges is financial management. 2013 represents 18 years on the high-risk list for financial management at DOD. It debuted on that list in 1995. The latest deadlines now for the agency are 2014 and 2017, and we'll dig into those in just a moment. Making those deadlines and trying to understand the holdups to achieving those goals is our focus today as part of our week-long multimedia series, Rise of the Money People. Financial management moves front and center as agencies make final assault on wasted billions. My guests today are two veterans of financial management at the Pentagon. Al Tucker is former Deputy Chief Financial Officer at DOD, former Deputy Assistant Inspector General for Audit in the Office of the Inspector General at the Department of Defense, and former Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. And Asif Khan is Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the Government Accountability Office, and he has led a number of pieces of work on what the DOD is doing in financial management. Gentlemen, it's great to have both of you in the studio. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Francis.
Al, I want to start with you and give me kind of a thumbnail of the background of how we got here. Did this all start with the CFO Act? Is this where DOD first became aware of all this, or is this something that's been on the plate for a long time before that?
Not really on the plate. When I joined the government in 65, Francis, the auditors were not doing financial audits, and it wasn't a big deal. I started out as an auditor with the Army Audit Agency. Really, in 1990, when the CFO Act was first passed, the audit was an experiment, and that was going to be tried out. It was only until I think 1992 or 1993, when the Federal Financial Management Improvement Act made the audit a requirement in the Department of Defense, that it became, sort of picked up momentum.
And so, Asif, in that context, it didn't take very long for financial management at DOD to get on the high-risk list. I mentioned 1995 was when it first showed up there. What's the context historically for that and how we got to where we are today?
Correct. I mean, just to add a little bit more to what Al had mentioned, not to single out just DOD, the CFO Act also applies to the civilian agencies as well, and they were also nowhere close to being auditable when the CFO Act had passed. And then in quick succession, we had the GPRA and GMRA, which made this an additional requirement to what Al had just mentioned. I think it goes back to the historical issues of what the focus was of DOD. I think they were really focused on the mission, accounting for the equipment or the other supply that is needed to fulfill the mission was not really a priority. The priority was to be able to support the warfighters.
So we've seen a series of deadlines come and go, and you've testified before Congress about this, and you've dealt with just about everybody at every level, Al, about this. Where do we stand today? I mentioned the 2014 and 2017 dates that each agency, that each branch and then the agency as a whole has to get to. What do those numbers mean, Al?
Well, those numbers are benchmarks, and they're plans. For 2014, the services, the military departments have to be ready for audit of their financial, budget statement of budgetary resources. 2017, they should be ready for a complete audit of the DOD financial statement. So it is an incremental process, but in that 3 years, there's a big jump from going from the statement of budgetary resources to the full financial set of statements.
Now, we're only a year out now, Asif, from the audit of the Statement of Budgetary Resources. What is your work showing that where we stand?
Yeah, perhaps I can best kind of like articulate this by pulling some information from the from the fire status updates from November 2012, it's laid out pretty clearly that for the SBR, about 15% of the budgetary activity is under audit. So that really shows that the lion's share has to be done between now and 2014. That's 85% of the budgetary resources have to be put under audit.
Is this a process that's potentially backloaded enough that that's a reasonable expectation, or is this going to be a really, really tight push to try to get that done?
I think it's going to be the latter. It's going to be a really tight push to get that done. In addition to that, just to, if I may add, that there has been also a narrowing in scope of the statement of budgetary resources. I mean, there has essentially the way the budget is laid out, it goes over 5 years, and what the readiness for 2014 is just for a single year budgetary activity. So that should really help. I think it's going to be, it's a much more practical approach that get 1 year budgetary activity audited, and then you can build on it for subsequent years to be able to get the entire SBR done.
Is having the SBR done for 1 year, Al, enough to be able to get the agency and the branches ready for a full audit by 2017?
No. There's a lot more work to be done to get ready for the full statement. And the fact that what history has shown us, for instance, for the Corps of Engineers, it was 5 years after they thought they were ready for an audit, if they were able to pass an audit. Now, it's been 3 years for the Marine Corps, who thought they were ready for an audit 3 years ago, and hopefully they're going to get a good opinion on this current statement. But they had to narrow the scope to get there. So that shows you that as you get into the work, you find, you know, the difficulties and the things that you have to work with and work around.
So are we changing the rules to make a makeable deadline, or are we, by narrowing the scope, is that just a standard operating procedure when somebody's trying to get numbers, concrete numbers?
It's I wouldn't say changing the rules. It's more of a granular, incremental approach. It's just the original intent really was to have the entire SBR audited by 2014, but based on the example of the Marine Corps, what we had seen in the 2010 and 2011 audit results, I think it was pretty obvious that that DOD needed a different approach instead of doing the entire SBR, which includes several years of budgetary activity, to just narrow it down to 1 year.
You have looked at this a number of different ways, and we'll go through some of the pieces of this, and Al, look forward to your input on all of these challenges, because as I read a lot of the work that your team's done, Asif, at the GAO, and you've been on the program a number of times before talking about all of these things, these are very complicated issues that Congress is now saying need to be done in a particular time frame. And we were talking before we went on the air that I came here in 2006 and started to cover these issues almost immediately. And at that time, the deadline for a full auditability was 2011. That deadline has now slipped. And the question that I hear on an ongoing basis is, why is this so hard? Why is this so complicated? Al, you and I have chatted about this before. This really is as difficult or more difficult than it appears to be from the outside, isn't it?
Well, yeah. The Department of Defense is mankind's largest organization ever. And it's deployed around the world. It has millions of people. It has millions of units of equipment, and it has complicated financial systems, probably the most complicated financial systems anywhere. These systems, particularly when we started this process back in the early 1990s, were not capable of being audited. They were not. They didn't have databases. They didn't have transaction trails. They did not have the things that could satisfy an audit. All of those have had to be built, and they are being built now. And then you have to get into doing the actual work of taking transactions from a database and a sample and looking from one end of that transaction to the other end. You've got to find the data, good data. You've got to find the documentation. I don't necessarily mean paper, but you got to be able to prove the data is right, and then you've got to improve that you've had discipline, internal controls, integrity over this whole process that keeps that data accurate and reliable and reconcilable. Huge task.
Now, thinking about it in the historic context that you're laying out there, Al, it strikes me that one of the reasons that this is so difficult, and I don't know if this, if we think about it in this context often enough, is that essentially the DOD spent the first 50 years of its existence not really paying attention to these things and just doing whatever they needed to do to get the things that they needed to do to meet mission. And so they had to figure out, essentially had to play 50 years of catch up in this period of time. Is that a fair way to look at it, do you think?
Yes and no. The focus of DOD in those first 50 years was the same focus that Congress had. How much money did I give you? How much did you spend? You know, did you spend on the things that I said you could use it for? And that's what TOD focused on from its beginning. It still focuses on that. You talk about the rise of the money men. The budget people have always been on the rise because budget runs the Department of Defense, or did. It's the accountants now who have finally come into, I won't say their own, but come into a sphere where now it's important to prove the accuracy of this data. And without that, we got, every time you see a piece of information from the Department of Defense right now, you should ask yourself, how accurate is this?
Now, as Al's talked about data, Asif, you've been making some notes and nodding your head in agreement with him.
Well, I mean, it's interesting what Al is saying is so true. It's somewhat ironic that DOD is a technologically very, very sophisticated organization. What Al is talking about going back 50 years ago, they had developed these systems, these tables, these computers, these models. They were incredible for that time. And a lot of them, I mean, apart from doing the mission work, was also meant to track their logistics. The only thing missing from that was the financial element on that, though. And some of those systems are still in existence right now. I mean, one of them is MOCAS. We are looking at it right now. It is a 50-plus years old system which manages...
What is the name of it again?
MOCAS. I won't go into the acronym, but essentially it manages the contractor pay for DOD. It's owned by DFAS. It's a 50-plus year old system. Some of the software was written decades ago. So just keeping that up to date and to keep it refreshed so it can track current requirements for federal reporting, current requirements for making sure the amounts are paid correctly. There's a lot of internal controls. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of workaround which needs to be strengthened in that area.
All right, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to continue this conversation. I want to dig into some of the individual pieces of this challenge that the Pentagon is dealing with financial management, with Asif Khan of the Government Accountability Office, and Al Tucker, the former executive director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers, among other high-level positions dealing with financial management at DOD. We'll continue in a minute on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Pentagon Solutions today is focused on the topic of financial management at the Defense Department, part of our week-long multimedia series, Rise of the Money People. Al Tucker and Asif Khan in the studio with me, and let's try to break this down, this challenge of DOD's financial management being on the high-risk list for such a long period of time. Al, if you had to choose some of the, and you've read a lot of Asif's work, and you've been involved with GAO, both inside DOD, at the IG's office, and so on, what are maybe two or three of the most critical elements, the biggest stumbling blocks that the agency's having in your view?
With relation to audit? Well, systems was the first stumbling block. And that was a huge stumbling block because we had all these many diverse systems that were not integrated, that didn't speak to each other, that used different definitions for data and so forth, that didn't provide databases you could get at and take. So that was the first struggle, and then the second struggle, one I think that they're in now, is convincing everybody that they need to take this seriously. And of course, Secretary Panetta did a great job of that when he came on board, because the accountants can only do so much. The transactions happen all around the world from all many, many places. They have to be handled in certain ways. They have to be controlled in certain ways. There's this huge, or was, this huge motivation to get things done fast, cut through the red tape, whatever you want to call it, and get this done, which really endangered the integrity of the transactions, made them less auditable or unauditable. And now I think the next obstacle is showing people exactly what they have to do, because that's the process that the auditor's going through now. All right, I found this transaction. This is what I need about this transaction. And they say, you need that? Why do you need that? You know, so I think those are the three main obstacles.
All right. That what Al's talking about there in that last one, Asif, is something that we talked about before we went on the air, and that's culture. That is getting people to buy into the fact that this is a priority and this has to happen. Is that fair to say, do you think?
Very much so. I mean, just going back to what remains to be done, it's I think DOD and GAO is pretty much on the same page. I mean, there's broad agreement about the big picture areas where there needs to be a focus. Just to break them down a little bit more, I mean, the leadership and tone at the top is very important. I mean, we at GAO certainly have seen a big shift in the last 5 years from the leadership and in the controller's office, and especially with Secretary Panetta's declaration that the leadership within the functions understand the importance of financial management. So that really has to translate into the tactical, what the person has to do on a day-to-day basis. And that's what Al was talking about. It really comes down to having the right skill sets to be able to understand what everyone's specific role is and what needs to be done to be able to get to the end state.
Now, Al talked about systems also, and if you look at the high-risk list that includes financial management, there's a whole bunch of IT projects there. Now, I guess reflexively you'd say, well, and again, something we talked about before we went on the air, Walmart can do all these transactions, and you can point to any number of right. private sector organizations that do a whole lot of electronic commerce, and from the outside looking in, it appears that it happens fairly seamlessly. When you have the number of legacy systems, as Al talked about, and the issue of them communicating with each other, should we assume the default position from now on should be, we're never going to be able to get them all able to talk to each other, because to try to do that, you'd wind up with one of these waterfall IT projects that would also probably wind up on the high risk list.
I think we have to be realistic, because, I mean, the new ERPs, they have to really be fed data from somewhere. Either it's going to be somebody manually inputting this information, or it's going to be one of the legacy systems that Al was alluding to. So the reality is that it's going to be a combination between manual process, legacy systems, and the new systems. So given that, it can still be made to work, provided one understands what the process is, and you build inadequate controls. So there's check and balance, and there's transparency and visibility to how the transaction is going from one end to the other end.
And the reason that I ask that, Al, is because one of the things that I hear as I listen to, especially to congressional hearings on this, is maybe it's time for a resetting of expectations in all of this as to what the tools are that are going to be available, what the manpower resources are that are going to be available, and therefore what the deliverable ultimately will be to Congress, who really is driving all of this. They drove the CFO Act, and they're driving this auditability push and setting the deadlines and so forth. Do you think that's reasonable?
Well, perseverance is going to be very, very important here, because, as I've said, history shows us that it takes longer than you think to get this done. So it may take longer than 2017, but you've got to get it done. And I know there are some people who think, oh, well, maybe this will go away. Or people say, well, it's not all that important, or lots of other reasons. I don't think that's realistic. I think that the Department of Defense can't be the only institution in the United States whose financial statements can't be audited. I think that's not a reasonable expectation. And I think even though some people in Congress or maybe other places think, well, it's not worth the it's not worth the candle, I don't believe that's true.
Al Tucker is the former Deputy Chief Financial Officer at the Defense Department, and Asif Khan is Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the Government Accountability Office. They're my guests as part of our conversation on financial management at DOD. Excuse me. We'll be back in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My guests in studio today, Asif Khan of the Government Accountability Office, and Al Tucker, a veteran of DOD's financial office, the Government Accountability, Inspector General's office at DOD, and his last role as Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers, and both of them here on Pentagon Solutions, part of our Rise of the Money People series all week long. You can find all the resources for our series at federalnewsradio.com, search term Money People. We were talking, Asif, in the last segment about expectations and setting appropriate expectations, and you had some more thoughts along
right,
that line.
Right, now I was agreeing with Al, that perseverance is very important, resetting expectations without analysis as to what the causes were for not reaching the expectations. And I guess we are talking about the context of the DOD's ability to reach 2014 and 2017. My analysis shows that it's going to be increasingly challenged to meet either of those dates. So with expectations comes accountability. That's the other part of the equation, that if you can't meet your dates, you can't meet your timelines and goals, there has to be accountability. There has to be an analysis what the causes were for not meeting that. And without that analysis, without that thinking, you will have little benefit from the lessons learned to be able to have an improved process, which is going to put you in a better position to be able to meet your goals.
Now, those the goals there for 2014, 2017, Al, you've laid those out for me. Those are essentially documents. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot behind those documents. There's data behind those documents. Mm-hmm. And understanding that the data that's on the documents is clean, it strikes me as maybe it's critical, and maybe the most critical element of all of this.
Well, the plan itself is very detailed, and the department is doing a great job of tracking that plan. Of course, when you get to documents, the outcome of the documentation is the financial statement, and you'll find many people who will say, well, that doesn't help me. I can't read it. It doesn't tell me anything I need to know. And that's really kind of missing the point.
I completely agree with what Al is saying. The purpose of financial statements is to prove that the information you have in your financial accountability systems is accurate or reasonably accurate, because it's got check and balances. Mm-hmm. The key purpose of financial management reform is to provide the decision makers with useful, reliable information that they can make the decisions on. Financial statements is one major tool which gives that assurance that you have the information you need, it's reliable. The other element which goes with that, it's no good having reliable information 6 months or 12 months after the event. It's got to be timely. Perhaps maybe real-time information may be unrealistic, but you've got to have the information in the hands of the decision makers pretty close to the time when that information has actually occurred. So it has to be very fresh.
Keeping that information fresh and timely in organization where there's the volume of information that we've discussed already on the program, is that a realistic expectation? Is that doable and just not happening, or is that really a steep hill to climb?
In the current state, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. And in other cases, DOD is different in the sense from the private sector entities that in a private sector, they have already tried and tested before they roll something out into the marketplace. Their business processes have got the best practices built into them. DOD is still experimenting with a lot of their processes. They're still being defined. And part of the reason is the mission itself, though. So given that context, It's not going to be possible to have real-time information in the hands of decision-maker in the near term.
Now, one of the things, we can take another break here. When we come back, I want to just try to break this into pieces and really understand all of the elements here. My guests are Asif Khan of the GAO and Al Tucker, formerly of DOD, the Inspector General's Office there, and the American Society of Military Comptrollers, among other positions. And you can hear our conversation later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We'll continue in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Today on Pentagon Solutions, my guests talking about financial management at DOD, Al Tucker and Asif Khan. And Asif, I looked before we came on the air at I printed out this list of various reports that you've done that pertain to this issue. And I just underlined a whole bunch of terms just to try to get a grip on the scope of this issue. Enterprise resource planning system, business systems, payment monitoring, business processes and systems, pay, Navy and Marine Corps fund balance, implementation of business systems. There are themes here that we see time and again, but there also are a wide variety of areas that you've looked at, and Al, you and I have talked about a number of different components here. What are the big pieces? Obviously, in a situation like this, there's no low-hanging fruit. This is really difficult, complicated stuff. But what are the pieces, the increments that we could maybe look to where, let's forget about the numbers 2014 and 2017, but at some point in time that you would say, I'm comfortable saying that we're making serious progress?
I mean, just the mindset that we had was to look at DOD's plans. I mean, going back to the time period, I think, when Al was in the office, I mean, there were different disparate plans. I mean, each of the components had their own audit readiness or auditability plan. So one huge improvement was to have a unified plan, as in the fire plan. One of the first jobs that I did when I came to GAO several years ago was to look at the fire plan and provide recommendations on how they could improve that. And we came with the conclusion that the fire plan was reasonable and they needed guidance which could be consistently followed by the different components. The fire office, the fire directorate, they developed the guidance that the components can be followed. Now, the key is in the implementation. We were upfront that implementation and execution of the plan is going to be the major challenge, because that's where really the rubber hits the road, though. So in terms of looking at success is looking at what the plan is, what the milestones that DOD and their different components have, and then to be able to go and evaluate each of those milestones to see how close they are to meeting those deadlines.
The fire plan that you're referring to is the Financial Improvement and Audit Readiness Plan, and GAO's website says it provides the strategy for DOD's financial management reform efforts, and it's evolved since the plan was first issued in 2009, and you can read more about that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We'll link to the financial management at DOD portion of the high risk list on our website. Al, the fire plan, I imagine, was a watershed moment for DOD in this, because it sounds like it's 180 degrees opposite of what you've talked about historically being the strategy at DOD.
Well, yeah, it was. It definitely was a watershed moment. There have been several plans that had been worked on up to that point under different controllers. I'm not quite sure when the fire plan began, whether it began under Hale or it might have begun under the previous controller. But it's a very definitive plan. It has steps to it that have to be accomplished, and there's a tracking mechanism. There's a report. I think it's every 6 months now.
Right.
Every 6 months. And it's pretty candid. It will tell you whether an organization met that target or didn't meet that target, and what they'll have to do next to get to that target. And they keep adjusting it. So it's a good strong method of setting up and tracking the milestones. But it's the milestones that are the hard part.
The GAO's website I mentioned says that FIRE was first issued in 2005, and my notes say Tina Jonas was the comptroller at DOD starting in the middle of 2004.
Yes.
So it would have come out under her tenure. Is the FIRE plan, is this the word that I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for? Is this a living document? Is this something that evolves over time as the requirements to get to where DOD needs to go next change?
Possibly? Right. It does evolve. I mean, neurocommerce come into place, and as the components do additional work, additional items come to light which need to be included into the plan. It's a collection of several different documents. I mean, and the best way to get the arms around the plan is to look at the biannual update that Al was talking about. It comes out typically in November and May. Provides a great deal of detail for each of the components, and DLA and the Marine Corps and the other defense organizations, they're grouped together. It provides a lot of information as to the progress which has been made, and also any slippages in the milestones, I mean, is also pointed out, and any I've not noted the accelerations, but I mean, there was acceleration or compression of the timeline because of Secretary Panetta's declaration that they're going to reach the 2014 date.
All right. Here's the reason, Al, that I love having you on this show, because you know this stuff so cold. Asif, at the beginning of the program, I said, what are the issues here? You listed three of them, and they match up dead on with what Asif and his team have put out about under what remains to be done on the high-risk list. There's one element that we didn't talk about, and I want to talk about it when we come back to finish up, and that's leadership and culture. We touched on culture a little bit, but we'll do that to wrap up our conversation in just a minute on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests, Al Tucker and Asif Khan, part of our week-long multimedia series, Rise of the Money People. All of our resources now at federalnewsradio.com. Search term Money People, and we'll continue in just a minute. This is In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My conversation on Pentagon Solutions today is part of our week-long multimedia series, Rise of the Money People, and we're talking about financial management in the Defense Department with Asif Khan of the Government Accountability Office and Al Tucker, a former official at DOD, in the Inspector General's office there, and his last position as Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. And you're now playing the home version of the military comptroller game, right? Enjoying some retirement time? Good for you.
I'm doing a little project work, but nothing serious.
Excellent. Well, it's great to have both of you here, and I appreciate this conversation today. And I mentioned before the break, Al, that you nailed the main elements of what the Government Accountability Office lists as the things that still remain to be done, with one exception. And we touched on it briefly, and that's the idea of culture, and that extends to leadership, because any leadership book that you read talks about the ability of a leader to move the organization in the direction that he or she wants it to go. Nobody doubts that the leadership in financial management at DOD over the last several years has been very competent, very knowledgeable, ready to do the job. So what are the leadership pieces, Asif, we'll start with you. What are the leadership pieces that, I hate to even use the term lacking because that implies a shortcoming on the part of the people that are doing it, but what are the leadership challenges, I guess, that people there should be aware of and thinking about as they're trying to move this along?
I think there has to be a realization that financial management issues are really, they do not start in the financial management shop. I mean, they typically start in other functions. Just like what Al was saying, that you really have to have the integrity of the whole entire transaction cycle, essentially where the transaction originates to how it gets reported. This originates in different functions, and it passes through several different other areas before it ends up in financial management. Therefore, the key to financial management leadership is to have good communications, good collaboration with the other functions. These are such as acquisition, supply chain management, IT, to make sure that they understand the importance of financial management. It's clear within these other functions as to what information is needed by financial management and why it's needed. And the flip side of that is that I I think it's incumbent on the financial management professions to really educate the other functional areas on the importance of this information so they can use this usefully in their day-to-day decision-making.
When you think about then the number of moving parts that are involved there and the people that need to be communicating with each other, and you layer that on top of the complexities that we've already talked about in the course of this hour, Al, it becomes even more and more apparent why this is so difficult, I think.
Well, the key word that ASIF used was importance. There was a time when it didn't seem as important. There were other things that the department had to do and was working on, as there are today. There are other very important missions. So the question is this important? And the leadership, and certainly Secretary Panetta as well as Comptroller Hale, have made it clear that this is important. It's important that we have our financial house in order and that we can maintain the integrity and the accuracy of our data. And we can only do that if we can pass an audit. And everybody has to participate in that because all this data flows through so many people. You touch it, somebody else touches it, dozens of other people touch it. It has to maintain its accuracy as it passes through this system. And so the key word is importance.
And this is this people part of this, ASIF, it seems to me, is the hardest part of this. Because the vendor community's proven they can deliver systems that work. So it's not ultimately going to be probably a systems problem. It's not ultimately going to be a policies and procedures problem because the best practices exist, as we've discussed. Ultimately, human beings making mistakes or bad judgment or whatever seems to me is going to always be the weak link in this chain.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is highlighted as one of the areas which need to be in what needs to be done. It's the resources is systems and also the people. And the importance in this one, what I mentioned was, so everyone understands what their role is in the financial management arena. There's a lot of judgment involved in there. If people are not adequately trained, it'll be a very inefficient process. Either things will come to a grinding halt because people are waiting for judgment to come through from somebody else, or it'll be a very benign process that really does not have any controls in place, though. So the training elements, the human element is a critical piece in the mix which needs to be addressed.
All right. We have just a couple of minutes left, and I'm maybe being a bit unfair about this, but we focused on a lot of the challenges and problems throughout the course of this hour. There have to be good things that you've found in your work at GAO, ASIF, and that you've seen in your long career that give you some kind of hope or optimism that maybe it's not 2014 and 2017, but the ultimate goal of financial managers being able to make good decisions with good data is not just a pipe dream, that this is something that we're chasing with good reason now. Give me a couple of good things for us to hang our hats on.
What I see is that the leadership, both in the financial community and in the non-financial community, is serious. They're serious about it, and they understand the problems. They realize they don't know all of the problems they'll find and the difficulties. They know they'll find certain kinds of problems, and they know they'll find other kinds of problems that they don't know about yet. But they're determined to overcome those problems, and that's where the perseverance comes in.
All right, Asif.
And I think I'm looking more futuristically. I think this gives DOD and the functions within DOD itself a chance to really transform the organization itself across the enterprise. They can really make this into a world-class financial management organization, so this will be on par with any of the other private sector organizations that we were talking about earlier on.
It's terrific to have both of you in the studio. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time today. ASIF Khan is Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the Government Accountability Office, and you can find a link to their work on financial management issues at GAO at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Al Tucker is former Deputy Chief Financial Officer at DOD, former Deputy Assistant Inspector General for Audit in the Office of IG at the Defense Department, and a former Executive Director of the American Society of Military Comptrollers. You can find all of our resources for our week-long multimedia series, Rise of the Money People, at federalnewsradio.com. Search term Money People. And you can hear hour number two of In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM coming next on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.